Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Crypto Over Coffee podcast. We've got an exclusive show today that is exclusive to the podcast platforms with Robbie Cochran, the co-founder at Chain Guardians, basically jack of all trades, doing all sorts of cool stuff in this space, and someone I've had the pleasure of working with for a while now as Chain Guardians and the whole ecosystem around it has been developing. So Robbie, thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, Hash. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure to be, you know, interviewed or part of a podcast even for, you know, the one and only Hashosha. I guess one of the only Spurs fans that I know in the crypto space as well.
Yeah.
I kind of left this up my sleeve. I don't know what happened with the beating Man City and then losing to Burnley the following week, but I guess we shouldn't talk too much about that.
That's the folly of a Spurs fan is... It's the roller coaster. It's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I guess it's just something, you know, it's this weird thing I must really enjoy, like the volatility of crypto, but in football, it's bizarre.
It's mood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know what? It's easy enough to just hope for the future, hope for better days. We shall see. But that being said, Robbie, if you could, please give folks just a little bit of background. Like, how did you get in this space? And if you support a football club, please tell us what it is.
I hope I don't make too many enemies, but I'm happy to reveal, I guess, more happy nowadays than I have been in the past. That is for sure. I went through some years of pain. But yeah, I mean, obviously I'm Robbie Cochran. I'm the co-founder of Chain Guardians and also Cryptoverse, which is obviously the newest project initiative that we've been working on within the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I am, for my sins, a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, there you go.
To drop that in there. For those that are like, oh, glorious supporter, you know, I am early 30s now, and we've had 20 years of Man United winning practically everything when I was a kid. So, you know, don't think anyone could accuse me of that.
Yeah.
But it's nice over recent years, that is for sure. But yeah, anyway, to keep things, I guess, on topic, yeah, I effectively do kind of a little bit of everything within the team, you know, from kind of business development, engaging with influencers. I lead up the RPG team, the, you know, the person who does reports to me, I should say. Same with Cryptoverse, i.e. the technical director there reports to me for the content creation side, and same with the implementation team as well, on the Cryptoverse. What else do I do? I'm also the resident white paper writer for Chain Guardians and Cryptoverse. Mm-hmm. Chain Boost was initially an idea in my head too, so I kind of have some heavy kind of hands in guiding the ship. Mm-hmm. In terms of how I got into the space, I initially, like most people, stumbled across Bitcoin and found it very interesting. But really, Ethereum really gripped me. The smart contracts were kind of new at that time, and I was like, wow, you know, this really kind of captured my imagination in terms of the disruptive potential, not only in finance, but wider. Started to read a lot of white papers for ICOs and altcoins at that stage, you know, kind of participated in a couple. Mainly they went sour, as we all know what happened during sort of 2017 ICOs, but also kind of... what really sort of saved me in terms of remaining in the space was Decentraland, which I, you know, I speak very fondly of even now. So I have some really good relationships there. Technically still also a serving board member for Decentraland University, which is one of the bigger districts there. And that was just basically through forging relationships with several of the key members of the DAO there, and also one of the key district leaders over there. You know, my background was rooted in education, so there was a good fit there for Decentraland University. I also had some relationships with, you know, friends and associates that worked for visual effects companies, you know, inside, in and around the UK, working on some major feature films. And there was a natural synergy there in terms of creation, content creation and 3D modeling. So I got my hands kind of dirty there in leading a couple of initiatives for building in Decentraland. And from there, the kind of rest is mainly history, but DCL kind of really gripped me. I also then started exploring, obviously, NFTs naturally in a little bit more detail, fell in love with like blockchain gaming, Kind of through late 2017, early 2018, I were playing some of the earlier blockchain games, collecting some NFTs, and that's where really the idea for Chain Guardians came from, when I met my co-founder Idom playing some of the other blockchain games, and we felt that Relay, that we loved the idea of provable ownership that offered NFTs, brought interoperability and the disruptive potential of the gaming market. But we felt as though, you know, many of the games that were out at that stage were never going to disrupt the industry, because the graphics weren't there, the quality of graphics, there was no real sort of story or lore and immersivity in the community and so on. Kind of shame on me in some regards, because obviously Axie has gone mental, as everybody knows, which is great for the kind of blockchain gaming industry as a whole, which was one of the early games to which I refer to there. But I think obviously a lot of their immersivity and world building is probably occurred beyond the time when I was involved, so not to do it a disservice there. And that's kind of how I got into the space.
That's a heck of a story, Robbie. I mean, if you are winding back the clock and thinking about all the areas that you touched on in that drove that kind of built up your experience both in and out of crypto, it kind of makes sense then the way that you play this visionary role in the Chain Guardian space, of course driving the path for the gaming side, and then also now the path for the metaverse side and the cryptoverse. Can you talk to me a little bit more about your vision for the cryptoverse? I know right now all the focus right now and all eyes are on the metaverse and virtual worlds and virtual land. Can you talk a little bit about the idea for the cryptoverse?
Yeah, of course. Sorry, mate, I just sneezing there.
No worries, dude.
Came out of nowhere. Cryptoverse, 2018, when we founded Chain Guardians, the idea behind really to tell a story about where the idea of Cryptoverse came from, I need to tell a little bit of the story about, where the idea for Chain Guardians came from.
Please do.
So when we were when we were playing these early games and stuff, and we were talking about a lack of, high quality art and lore, a big thing for me was always stories. I think everything is about story, really. That's how everybody gets engaged. If it's, in terms of any sort of artistic work, really, game, film, art itself, there's always got to be a story behind it. That's what really resonates with people. And that's what Chain Guardians was about. It was about building a world, building a story behind the characters. So Chain Guardians themselves are actually, what we call them or describe them as, like, blockchain superheroes. They are the defenders or the superheroes for the different chains or major projects which exist within the crypto space, meaning we have a Matic character or Polygon character now, we have an Avalanche character, we have an Elrond character, we have a Decentraland character, the kind of list goes on. And the idea is that the story behind it is that each of these guardians are the defenders of those blockchains or of those major projects. And that's where the whole kind of idea of Chain Guardians come from. They guard that chain or they guard that project. And then kind of taking it a step further, it was a case of, they all exist within this digital space. They all exist within this universe, which is kind of not our universe, but is a futuristic universe. And they all defend their own planets. And it was a case of, right, so where, what is this universe called? What is their purpose? So we define their purpose as guarding the blockchain, as guardians of the blockchain would. Their natural adversary would be the gatekeepers of, a metaphor for arguably, traditional finance or traditional currency, or, the centralization of traditional currency. And we call them the gatekeepers. So these guardians, despite some of the infighting that they may have, their primary purpose would be to repel the kind of gatekeepers. So it's gamifying this universe. And essentially the name for this universe initially started as Cryptosphere, very early doors, and then I evolved that to the Cryptoverse, obviously, as a nod to the kind of metaverse, because that's exactly what we were looking to create, was this metaverse. So really, you know, from an ideological point of view or conceptual point of view, that is where Cryptoverse started. It actually started way back in 2018, when we, you know, founded Chain Guardians. And from there, really, in my view, the project and the team, the organization that we have built has always been centered on, you know, building towards the ability to deliver a metaverse. And that is where Cryptoverse comes in.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, in reading about this initially, of course, knowing that whatever papers and stuff I'm reading are written at least as a main author by you, which makes sense, right? In the way that you talk about this, you're looking at the Cryptoverse and the overall thematic element behind Chain Guardians and your vision for maybe the convergence of all of these areas. You know, how do you make a metaverse that has many different users living in or, you know, interacting in a virtual world, and then bringing in the native gamification and the sort of the fun of video games into that space without making it feel disjointed or without making the whole focus of a game be, you know, earning tokens or earning NFTs? It's a difficult balance.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, the idea, it needs to be huge, but also have focus. And this is the kind of, you know, the balance that you need to kind of strike. But I think for anybody who's familiar with the Chain Guardians ecosystem, hopefully they'll recognize that, you know, the principles of decentralization, as I would call them, are all paramount in each and every one of the products that is created within the ecosystem. So as an example, the NFT mining platform was initially created as a proof of concept for the essentially staking NFTs, so DeFi for NFTs, if you like, but not only Chain Guardians NFTs to be utilized on the platform, but actually NFTs from partner projects. And initially, like the long-term goal there was to enable that for potentially any NFT to be actually used to stake on the platform. So what I'm talking about here is the interoperability of NFT assets. So our acknowledgement here was that Chain Guardians are not the only characters, they are not the only avatars, they are they are only part of what is a bigger world building exercise which is going on here. You know, they are part of the Cryptoverse, and a big part of it in our view, obviously, because we see them as the Marvel Avengers of the blockchain, for want of a better description.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to acknowledge here is that Axie is a part of the Cryptoverse. Everything that goes on, Bored Apes are part of the Cryptoverse. My Crypto Heroes, whatever you want to say, they're all part of the Cryptoverse. Even those failed projects or projects that have been a rug pull, it forms part of what the Cryptoverse is in our view. So, you know, we very much believe in the principles of provable ownership, in interoperability. And the idea is that the metaverse or the Cryptoverse that we're creating here will also be a reflection of those principles.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point, thinking about how the failures and even the malicious sort of, not even necessarily attacks, but areas where people were taken advantage of or a scam had occurred, these are all critical parts of the development of this space. And so yes, for you at Chain Guardians, of course, being focused on providing a platform where builders are going to build in the future, right? Especially in the Cryptoverse too, you know, what are some of the things that you think about in giving maximum freedom and interoperability and provable ownership and developer tooling and all the stuff that's needed to build cool things and try and continue to cultivate that same, you know, safe, as scam-free as possible environment?
Yeah, it's a really difficult balance, because, and it's something that obviously we've been engaged with the RPG, with the NFT mining. It's always this balance of, you know, the more freedom that you hand over to not only the community, but also, you know, anybody who wants to utilize the tools or the products that are created within the ecosystem, the more potential there is for exploitation. So the questions that you have to ask is, how centralized does this need to be versus how decentralized, right? And it's always a difficult question that you have to answer, because interestingly, most of the feedback that we receive from users, they just want things to be easier, meaning they want a really powerful UI UX, right? They want to be able to use things easily, the tools. And that doesn't naturally lend itself towards decentralization, unfortunately. Usually, right, the more decentralized something is, you know, the more steps that a user needs to actually go through to make that achievable. So it's a case of, you know, for the most part, I think that you'll see this reflected in probably the most successful projects, is that they often start barely centralized, and they go through a process of education for themselves as developers, but also on a journey of education with the users as well. So you're learning as the development team, and simultaneously you're imparting that knowledge onto your community where possible, and then, you know, you're also then sharing that kind of burden of responsibility for that education, but also the burden of responsibility for the decision making which occurs. And this is where I'm leading into talking about governance, right? So governance, I think, is vital for open worlds, open source, and open communities. But it's not something that you can just, you know, open the floodgates on, because you'll basically, obviously, therefore just wash away all of the good quality. So the steps that need to be taken are that you set up really strong systems, really strong protocols, and then you steadily hand over the kind of the keys and the control of those decisions to the community. And I think that, you know, the light paper for Cryptoverse will hopefully highlight that this is the direction that we're hoping to take it.
I have a philosophical question for you, Ravi, on that point. Do you think that in the future, social media and just maybe even just the digital world, the multiverse, the metaverse, whatever you'd like to call it, do you think it will be truly governed by the people, by the users, in a way that gets rid of that sort of the outliers in sort of content today that's moderated by, you know, a centralized party? Do you think that we will get to that point?
It's a really hard question to answer, right? Because, you know, and yet the question is probably the most important one. right. I like to believe that it will. And the reasons for that are because, what are we all doing here if we're just going to follow the traditional systems, hierarchical kind of, you know, authoritarian models which have existed since the dawn of empire, right? What are we all doing here in a decentralized, permissionless, provable ownership, interoperability, all of these beautiful principles that, you know, Web3 and blockchain offer us, if, you know, we're just going to follow these traditional centralized models? So I like to believe that is what Web3 and blockchain is about from a conceptual point of view, is it is here to change those models, to adapt, to present new systems of, you know, collective responsibility for communities, educated communities. And I have to believe that is the way it is going, because that is what our entire ecosystem is built upon. Moving towards that direction. So if I didn't believe that, then I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have set up the ecosystem in such a way. But I do recognize that there are still hurdles, there are still obstacles that as a wider community, as a collective, we need to overcome. You know, for example, DAOs. DAOs are imperfect currently, quite significantly, and they need work, and probably until DAOs are fully tooled and fully equipped and kind of, you know, seamless in many ways, you know, you're probably never going to have, like, you know, full-on pure decentralization. You know, how does a DAO sign you know, legal documentation, right? So there's things, there's a lot of questions to answer, but you know, fundamentally, I think that we're quite some way off that. In the meantime, it doesn't stop people building beautiful products and having beautiful projects that are cemented, you know, upon these principles. But to actually fully kind of achieve it is going to take some time.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And I, you know, I ask those questions because it's one thing to think about, and then to think about all the steps that it will take, both from a technology perspective, from a people process perspective, from a even just from the way that people behave and the way that that needs to change over time to better match with the decentralized operating models. I mean, like you mentioned, the way people expect user experience to be are not congruent with what's available out there today. And that friction or that trade-off between decentralization, freedom, and you know, sort of the openness is at odds with the clean user experience that something like Apple can provide, because they control every minute detail and take away that complexity from the user. Those are the big things that are going to have to be solved by builders like yourself and by the community, just continuing to push the envelope.
Yeah, and then you know, you've also got the additional layer as well to consider, which is, you know, where are, other than from a moral point of view, i.e., you know, the principles of decentralization, where are the incentives for projects to spend millions of dollars of their funding or money or whatever it may be, ETH, Bitcoin, whatever, to create code and then make it open source. Because, you know, we all know that really the true value or the major value in any company really is the IP that they own. And then obviously as soon as the IP is, or the code, for example, behind that IP, is made open source, you know, that therefore is no longer a proprietary value that company holds. Mm-hmm. So you have to also make kind of savvy business decisions here, because ultimately, like, you've still got, for us, for example, 40 to 50 staff we need to pay. If you create code, it takes you 6 months, and you know that you can monetize that and use it as a business to business to serve the kind of, the ongoing maintenance costs of the project or, you know, the funding, versus making that open source, where are the incentives, right? So it's also at odds with traditional business structure to some extent as well. And this is why it's a really difficult one to weigh up as well as a founder.
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at the circular dependency that this creates, where I think every company every person that I've spoken to is a co-founder or a developer or involved in crypto at some point or another wants to open source every line of code that they've written in the true nature of the space. But then they say, okay, well, we need to hold on to this for a while to monetize it, to pay, to build new code, to build our products, and to then get us ourselves in a stable place. And then they turn to VCs. And VCs are often going to say, we want you to have IP. A large part of what the company's value will be is driven by what you have. Yep. So then it makes you less likely to be able to open source all that code, which I think is then difficult. But without either of those things, without monetization, you don't have a company. You can't build things.
Exactly.
Unless you have people donating money, which is not reliable.
100%. Yeah. And this is the other thing that, you know, is not kind of obvious to the obvious eye, right? If I wasn't a founder, I wouldn't know this. And I mean, obviously you've been involved in this space, you get some of these insights, right? Through interviewing or having talks like these with co-founders and whatever else, you're able to kind of understand that layer. But of course, it's like, you know, if you need funding to keep paying your staff and to keep developing things, if you're not going to monetize the IP, how else are you going to do it? You know, I mean, you look at like traditional equity, is it going to be tokens, whatever it may be? It's a really difficult balance because, yeah, I mean, you want to make everything open source, like you say, because that's the beauty of decentralization and, interoperability and, you know, permissionlessness and all these beautiful principles. But there is a natural conflict there which occurs. And it's a difficult job for founders to kind of weigh up, the two. And I think unless you are a huge market cap project, where it's just not a worry because the trading fees and volume alone will service a large team, then these are things that you have to be very, very clever about until such a time comes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure people that are listening to this think about they might look in the top 100 or top 150 projects on, CoinGecko or CoinMarketCap and say, I mean, look at all those zeros. I mean, I can only imagine that these projects are so well funded. They have all the money they could ever need. And that's maybe not necessarily true because it takes huge teams to do a lot of the things that are going on. And that's why you see some projects that can't give enough on the marketing side or that can't push hard enough on, building a mobile app or whatever that may be that people are asking for. And so I think conversations like this might illuminate to people that even if you have a successful project by all, for all intents and purposes, it's still a delicate balance, making sure that everything's funded, that you're continuing to build to meet those roadmap promises that you made to people in the white paper or in your latest Medium article. Those things take time and money to get to.
100%. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. And I think it's, it's easy to forget as well, just like kind of how much like key talent costs, your mm-hmm. staff are, and they're worth it, right? If you've got the right team, obviously. But, people's like yearly salaries or, contractors costs, whatever it is that you're utilizing, they're heavy, especially if they're top talent, because everybody's gunning for them as well. So, you have to pay them well to keep them happy, because otherwise people will go elsewhere. So this is always something that you're having to weigh up as well. It's like, well, if somebody's kind of worked with you a year and they've been on X amount, and then, they've also built their experience at that point and they're getting somebody's coming along and offering them double that amount next year, mm-hmm. do you match it or do you look elsewhere? And then if you are looking elsewhere, can you find somebody? Yeah, it's always a risk, right? There's a lot to think about in this area for sure.
So Robbie, switching from sort of the philosophical to the practical, for the Chain Guardians ecosystem and for the cryptoverse, like what's on the horizon? I mean, we're sitting here first week of March 2022. By the time this launches, it'll probably be a couple days later, right? So still in March. Where are you going from here? Like what's next for these projects in 2022, and where you sit down on December 31st, 2022, and you say, okay, this year was a success?
Yeah, I mean, I think we, as a team, we're never satisfied. We're always looking to push technological and ideological boundaries. We can't sit still. There's always something new that we're working on. There's always something that we're looking to kind of push harder. I think it's easily forgotten, but if you just look to kind of in the first 3 months of this year in terms of what the full stack team has achieved across the ecosystem, it's quite literally mind-blowing, really. Completely new website revamp for the Chain Guardian site, completely new, obviously, site built out for Cryptoverse, completely new UI UX for Chain Boost 2.0 has been released, NFT fractionalized mining has been released as well. There was like over $1 million worth of CGG locked there within the first 72 hours. So people staking CGG to earn a different token so that they can then redeem that for another NFT. That's just kind of the things off the top of my head. There's loads more stuff that's also kind of already been released. But some of the big targets have been obviously and continue to be like the RPG. The RPG was there, it worked, and it was good as a proof of concept. There were people could see their NFTs as characters, they could fight with them and so on. But there's an imbalance in the ecosystem. There is some security flaws, which meant that we couldn't turn the pure earning on for it. There was also kind of some old code in there, which just wasn't up to scratch. So we basically as of say September last year, we basically just decided to completely rebuild the RPG. We're getting close now to basically re-releasing the RPG as what we call as like a 2.0 version or a foundation release for the 2.0 version. You know, with full stack kind of security in there, deposit and withdrawal when it withdrawals for any token, completely kind of new UI UX revamp, new chibi art for the characters, new animations, you know, the architectural code kind of rebuilt from the ground up, upgraded Unity stack, everything you can think of, really. So this has been an ongoing thing, and we're excited to release this. We've got our own internal marketplace, which is kind of going through some audits now, which is multi-chain, which obviously want to utilize for Chain Guardians and also Cryptoverse in the short term, but there's nothing to stop additional NFT stacks being added to there as well as our own marketplace solution. And then obviously the we also have NFT mining. This has also for the last 6 months been undergoing a revamp and very close to NFT mining 2.0, which has got additional gamification layers. So currently users just go in and stake an NFT very simply in order to earn passive income. But that's going to be further gamified so that there's different classifications of NFTs as well. So users can get more engaged there with an entire new, what we call star map system. Which has got some is like basically this wonderful kind of 2D 3D UI which users kind of allows them to attack and defend kind of planetary systems where NFT mining's occurring. So really kind of exciting gamification coming there. And then obviously there's Cryptoverse now, and everybody's like, often we speak to people, it's like, how are you doing all this? And I think I always have to point out that it's like, well, the Chain Guardians ecosystem and team is very big at this stage. I don't think people quite realize that we have around 50 staff working for us now, or working as part of the ecosystem. And each area has its own dedicated team with some crossover of key resources, of course, where it makes sense. But yeah, Cryptoverse is obviously, we've essentially gone through a huge process of building the map, which is no small feat. You know, you need, you know, Unity developers, we need Houdini artists, you need concept artists, you need content creatives, modelers, and so on. So the map and some of the early tools, so for like selecting land, you know, building out the backend database for tethering to the blockchain as well, and the relevant APIs that needed, this is obviously quite technical, but the whole world building, the initial world building, has been going on across the last kind of 9 months for Cryptoverse and to enable land sales. And simultaneously, you know, the content creation is consistently ongoing, both whether that be from the design phase, as we're working with urban city planners who have built parts of New York and Hong Kong in the real world, to kind of produce some really exciting, innovative kind of virtual world buildings and structures. Or it's at the stage where it's being modeled out. You know, there's a constant kind of pipeline and workflow for these different, you know, these different phases of content creation. So, you know, in terms of where we're going, we're consistently building this behemoth of an ecosystem which can compete across all different fronts, but also continues to enhance, you know, the immersive aspect for our community and the solutions that they can utilize within the ecosystem. And that's how we continue looking to continue. I'm really excited about Cryptoverse, of course, because, you know, the idea of a metaverse which encompasses gamification and social layers where you can, you know, go in as an avatar representing self and interact in and immerse yourself in so many different ways, which is going to be VR ready, is obviously something that really kind of, you know, sets the hairs tingling and what I'm very excited for. So yeah, loads going off.
Yeah, without it, I mean, as is evident by all the amazing stuff that you just described, and I'm sure that's kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's planned. That's just what's out there. Now, last thing I wanted to mention, I would be remiss if I didn't do so. Of course, I want to make clear to everyone who's listening that, you know, local regulations, also knowing the risks, are very important, prerequisite to all that. But the land sale is obviously kicking off here, at least the first phase of it for the Cryptoverse. Can you give folks the details there if they're interested in looking into that a little more?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, I'm not entirely sure when you plan to share this content with your community, Hash, but the very first kind of opportunity for land sale purchase is on PokerStarter, which starts tomorrow, which will be the 8th of March. Mm-hmm. I believe that that'll be over like different kind of opportunities depending on whether you're a polls holder or a non-polls holder. And that's kind of running for about 24 hours. So it might be after the fact when users listen to this, in which case the next one, which has been announced, is on Chainboost, which is the Launchpad incubator protocol within the Chain Guardians ecosystem. It is a foundation, so managed slightly differently, but they will, Chainboost will also be conducting, you know, a proportion of the NFT land sales there. So users can just go to chainboost.io to check that out. If they're here beforehand, obviously you can go to pokerstarter.com and check theirs out. But there are other platforms and protocols which will be also conducting some of the land sales. Obviously, they haven't yet been revealed. We have agreements in place for them, but they're going to be strategically announced, obviously, to make sure that, you know, not too many communications are being diluted, because each launchpad or marketplace has its own technical solutions, and if there's too many communications flowing out, it can confuse communities. But not only that, I think the more communications that go out, the more easy it is quite often for bad actors to potentially misdirect users as well.
Yep, without a doubt. Keeping it very focused and clear and concise is the best, making it easy for people. So yeah, that makes sense. So folks, you got a couple of options there if you're interested looking into that some more. You know, of course, know the risks, be careful, but the biggest thing is you have so many opportunities in this space right now, in the cryptoverse. From my perspective, something that's really, really powerful coming around the corner, the fact that the urban planners are involved, it's an underrated detail. If you've seen a lot of the grid-based, it looks like an Excel spreadsheet, some of the maps that are out there. And I'm glad to see there'll be some maybe some more dynamic planning going on around the design of these places.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think as well, you know, obviously it's a unique situation with regards to like NFT purchases, right? It's quite a new thing for many users. And I think this is why we wanted to kind of obviously keep the barrier to entry quite low for users. So, you know, I think for a single parcel of land, which is on average 56 by 56 meters, is $180. And for the vast majority of people, this is quite affordable. And I think this is important in terms of enabling users to, you know, get an interest and get a foothold within a metaverse, you know, to encourage them to kind of immerse themselves and learn and become involved in the community, within the realms of affordability, right? Rather than, you know, obviously some of the more established metaverse have been around a while now, probably a little bit further down the development phases. The cost, the barrier to entry there can be significantly higher. So this is a, you know, fairly decent kind of early stage opportunity there.
Fantastic. I mean, Robbie, we've covered a lot of ground in this one. I think from the, you know, how you got into crypto, the philosophy behind decentralization and interoperability and the metaverse, what you're building in the Chain Guardian space and in the cryptoverse, all sorts of good stuff. So thank you for doing that. Of course, I think it's been really interesting for me. I've learned a lot and been really inspired by a lot of what you said. And beyond that too, I would love to give folks an opportunity to connect with you and the Chain Guardian space more directly. Are there any social media platforms where you're most active?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I Telegram, there's I often have so many messages on there. So it's really difficult to kind of get my way through that. But Discord seems to be a little bit more manageable, you know, joining the Chain Guardians Discord, you know, I try to every so often just put my head in and say hello to the community and do kind of some impromptu Q&As there for sure. So if you go to like chainguardians.io or cryptoverse.io, there should be links on there for the Discords. And that would be, you know, a good way to kind of obviously you know, communicate, learn from the community, and obviously there's every chance that I'll kind of also, you know, drop in for impromptu questions and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Twitter. I tend to kind of mainly just sort of share the content across the platforms for the different you know, initiatives, but every so often I'll drop in a gem of wisdom there as well about the space. So yeah, you can follow me at Robbie Cochran, RobbieCochrane on Twitter as well.
Perfect. Well, you heard him, folks. Make sure you're engaged in the communities, get in those Discords, start hanging out and learning more, as should be prerequisite for any project in general in this space. That's the best way to go. Learn about it and really get to know the community. Robbie, thanks so much for taking the time and spending time with me chatting about all this stuff. We'll have to do this again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And maybe we can delve into some of Spurs' problems a little bit more as well in the next one. So thanks so much for having me, Ash.
Yeah, you'll never walk alone on that one, man.
Like it. Love the wordplay.
Hey, there you go, man. That's if I'm good at one thing, it's got to be that, considering my line of work. But really appreciate it, Robbie. Thank you, everyone who's listening, who listens to this show. We'll be back with another exclusive interview episode here shortly. So make sure you stay tuned. Hit the follow button on your platform of choice. Till next time. Cheers.